Yesterday on this program, Dennis, as you know, we talked with UGA journalism professor David Hazinski on the Rolling Stone article about the University of Virginia, that rape story which was eventually retracted, which leads to this question: do you always trust the media? So perhaps right now, Dennis, the listener right now, only relies on public radio for its news, or maybe another news source. So what's the role of public media in this ever-changing landscape of news? Well, WABE's parent company, Public Broadcasting Atlanta, has named Wanya Lucas as the next CEO and president, and she joins us now in studio. Ms. Lucas, welcome and congratulations.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
When you hear a news story like the one Rolling Stone retracted, in your opinion, what's the impact for what we do or what we try to do in this whole industry here?
Well, I think in terms of journalism in general, and I'm not going to speak specifically to that article, but I think that most journalists strive to have reports and stories that are true and balanced, I think, to some extent. I think the role of public media versus commercial media is the fact that it's to really serve the public and the community at large. I think the fact that we are not a commercial entity is important because we're not chasing ratings. We can actually focus on great journalism and great content.
When you look at how media stories, I mean, obviously it's changed since we all started, since we were little people. And technology has helped. It's helped deliver the news faster, but it hasn't necessarily always helped deliver the accurate news. So when you talk about the role of public media, is there more of a, I guess, a checks and balance that we have to do? Have our editors, have our producers, have our news directors be a little bit more hands-on, more so than what you see in commercial?
Absolutely. I think that the most important relationship you have with your listeners or viewers or users is a trust relationship. It's a trustful relationship. And so if that is eroded, then they will go to other sources. I think the interesting thing about the internet is bloggers have become so prevalent and they become authorities to some extent. And in some cases they are, in some cases they are not. So I think with public media, we have the advantage in that we can take the time to verify sources. I think our mission in general is such that we are always going to strive to report in a truthful way, and our relationship with our listeners, viewers, and users is a strong one and a trustful one.
But like all media, public broadcasting, this station and many others across the country are trying to serve people in lots of different ways, whether it's broadcast, you have radio, you have television, you have the internet, you have apps, you have all of these things, and all of that takes servicing. So in trying to expand the way that consumers get what all of us put out, there's the demand of the economy. So can we do both? Do we have the resources and the people, we all of us in public media, to do that while at the same time upholding the mission of taking the time, having the extra set of eyes, and checking all the facts, because all of that costs money?
Sure, I believe that we can do that. I think that we can communicate in a multi-platform way. One of the things I'm most interested in is developing integrated cross-platform content.
Which means what?
It means working a story from a television angle, a radio angle, as well as an internet angle. And so if we have the advantage of local news, which we do here at WABE, how do we leverage the fact that we are out investigating a story and gathering a story, having that producer think, what does this look like online? Is there a potential opportunity for this footage down the road on television? So I think there are ways for us to think multi-platform and to perform that way.
Then, and it comes back to what Rose was talking about, which is the time element. There's the urge to push it out, especially in digital media. Those are decisions that are made on the ground all the time, but are there guideposts that public media, whether it's here or anywhere else, have to be aware of?
Absolutely. I think that everyone, I believe in having clear guideposts and ways of operation so that everyone, because we're entrusting content creation to many different people, right? And so if we are all operating under the same guidelines, then I think that can ensure that we are all developing content that is, quite honestly, worthy of being distributed via public media.
when you have situations like in Ferguson, Missouri, and you will hear during interviews people say, well, the media is not reporting on our community. Or if you hear about the immigrant community, they will say, the media is not reporting on my community, on what's taking place. In public media, because you want to serve everybody, but then there's another, well, you can't serve everybody, or can you serve everybody?
Well, I think you can serve everyone, but maybe not necessarily at the same time. I think that one of the things that public media does incredibly well via storytelling and sound design, quite frankly, is they have the ability to bring stories to life. And they have the ability, you know, maybe not at the, you can't tell all the stories at the same time, but to tell multiple perspectives of the same story. And I think that's absolutely doable. So when you take a situation like Ferguson, you want to know what's the perspective of the people there, the citizens on the ground, what's the perspective of the officers and others that are involved.
You watched all that. I'm sure you watched or heard all that. What did you see that you liked, and what did you see that you didn't like?
Oh, that's a tough question. Well, first of all, my daughter is in St. Louis, so I didn't like what was going on because I was worried about her safety. In general, I think that some, you know, there is in commercial news, I would say, there's an element of sensationalism, I think. Not everyone. I think that, you know, but that happens. At the end of the day, it's the human interest stories that I'm most interested in. I'm interested in the people, all people, not just the citizens, but also the police officers, the people whose buildings and businesses were burned. I want to know how that impacted their lives. And so, to me, it's about the stories of the people that are involved and what it means to them, not just the act that was perpetrated and the sensationalism around that.
And in the process, you're not just trying to serve a community that may feel underserved. You're also trying to get those folks to listen or watch whatever, or go to the website, whatever that public media access point is. So how do you, on the one hand, maintain the service to people who are already satisfied with it, and on the other hand, reach people who feel that they might not have considered public media before, whether it's in communities that are underserved or younger listeners and viewers who haven't really much paid attention to it before?
Well, I think digital content is really important. And so let's talk about availability in general. I think that if you look at place-based media, radio is somewhat a place-based media. You're in a car, you're in your home listening to a device. Television is the same way. So I think that there's huge opportunities for digital content where people can look at it via mobile apps. So I think that's the way you reach a more diverse community. If you look at the usage of African Americans and Hispanics with mobile devices, it's incredibly high. It's a way you reach a younger audience, but it's also the way you reach everyone. So I think that a focus on the portability aspect of content is important.
Some of those communities, no matter what their demographic makeup, if you're talking about a poor community, they won't have, at least right now, there is the digital divide. They don't have the access to some of those means that you just talked about. That makes it a little bit tougher because they're still looking at radio or TV. So how do you reach out to them and say, hey, there's something here for you?
I think you reach those communities by developing stories that are relatable and relevant to those communities. And I think that there's huge opportunity, certainly here in Atlanta. I remember I was part of Leadership Atlanta, and you learn about all these seemingly hidden communities, but they're vibrant communities. And I think that to get them engaged in public media, we have to tell their stories, the things that they're interested in. That's first and foremost.
Let's switch to the television side here for a quick moment, because growing up, you know, for me, you start out with Sesame Street, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, and then you move on. And I would always joke with, you know, people, look, if I turn on my local PBS station, this is back in St. Louis, I would see the best of the Lawrence Welk show or the best of Victor Borga, and I'm like, I don't know these folks. So as we move, it's 2015 now, how important is it also on the television side to make sure we have content that will grab people from different sectors of our community?
Well, I think we, to be honest with you, I think we live in a more inclusive world than we did certainly when I was growing up. And I'm not sure television reflects that to the full extent. And I'm going to talk commercial television for a while. I think that some of the shows that are doing incredibly well right now are having more diverse cast. And so I think that the more inclusive, and I remember watching Zoom, by the way, when I was a kid. Zoom had a diverse cast. And so
Electric Company,
and Sesame Street. And so I feel like there are still opportunities, but it is absolutely through through the inclusion on television as well as radio of those diverse people.
Well, and how important is it then also that you have people who are delivering, who are disseminating the information, be reflective of the community? Dennis and I talk all the time about who were those people that we looked up to. For me, it was seeing a woman of color first, whether it was Robin Smith in St. Louis or Jane Kennedy or Carol Simpson. So that's important, whether it's a young person of color or someone of Asian, you know, ethnicity. It's important to have that reflect, you know, your population, who's delivering the news. Are we going in the right direction with that? Because one could argue you look at mainstream media, you still don't see... You see more, obviously, than when we were coming up, but you still don't see a fair, you know, reflection of the Hispanic community or the Asian community in media.
I mean, there's lots of work to be done. I think that that goes unsaid. So, and I agree with you. I think it's incredibly important to have the what the community, what the United States looks like today, to make sure that's reflected by the people who are actually delivering the news and content, as well as the people who are the subject matter.
Okay. Let's jump in because we've got just about a minute here, and it may be a bit unfair to jump to this big picture question in just a minute. A lot of public media gets a lot of its funding from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and that has become a source of debate on Capitol Hill periodically. What do you think the role for the future is in terms of public funding for public broadcasting, or do we have to, all of us, continue to shift to individual donors and private sector underwriters?
That's a big, big question, Dennis. No, I think that my hope is that there continues to be support of public broadcasting and public media at the government level. But I do think that we have to focus on individual giving as well, because you never know who's going to be in Washington and what their thoughts are. And so I think we have to, I think if we want public media to survive, we have to ensure that that happens via individual giving.
So again, unfortunately, in just a couple of seconds, how do you make that case to Congress? What would, if you had a member of the delegation here, what would be the pitch you make to them?
Wow. I think my pitch would be that back to the mission, it's about serving all the people. And making sure that we're incredibly local. I think that's one thing that public media does incredibly well, and that there's a quality factor as well. And if you look at commercial media, I think we're lacking in at least two of those things.
So. Wanya Lucas was just named the next CEO and president of WABE's parent company, Public Broadcast in Atlanta. Thank you for coming in and taking the time. And again, congratulations.
Thank you so much.
And best of luck.
Thank you so much.